service. As you can read up on the screen behind me, the sermon title is Freedom of Forgiveness. The thing that we all really hate to provide, but we want in return, right? We don't want to give forgiveness, but we want to be forgiven immediately. So this is something so critical in life, especially those who are in recovery, that is forgiveness. It is not only critical for the receiver, but it is also for the one who is giving the forgiveness. There are so many people that are being held hostage because they are unwilling to forgive someone for something that they have done. Sometimes the person we are upset with has no idea that they even hurt our feelings. That we have been hurt by what they said, what they have done, or what they have not done. When we are unwilling to forgive someone, it's like what we are being held hostage, like a dog on a leash. We are on a tight leash because we are bound by anger, resentment, bitterness, wrath, revenge. And this chain that binds us is hooked on us like a collar around our neck. And of course, as all those things weigh us down, it has a very short leash. We can't go anywhere. This collar, this chain, restricts and limits our movement and our freedom. When we try to escape and run away from our problems, it's like we get jerked back all of a sudden because we forget that we have these things holding us down and preventing us to be free because of that collar still around our neck. I want to let y'all go ahead and fill in your first fill in the blank for tonight. The best things are on the other side of the difficult things.
Amen.
The best things are on the other side of the difficult things. It is very difficult to forgive. But when you do, it is some of the best spiritual experiences that you've ever have witnessed. So Matthew, what is really forgiveness? What is it? Forgiveness, by definition, your next little fill in the blank, is the release of a person from a debt or obligation that had been incurred. I know there's a little bit of a typo, so if you want to pencil that or pin that in a little bit, debt or obligation that had been incurred, which means that it happened to you. You've received it, all right? It is a choice to release a person from a wrong done against you. Everyone here has been on both sides of that equation, right? Amen. We've needed forgiven to be forgiven, and we've also have had to forgive somebody. Everyone here, whether small or large, has been on the forgiveness continuum. It is the essential issue of a healthy human relationship. Forgiveness is that decision to push the delete button because of a wrong done against you. But I want to clarify something. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. Well, Matthew, what's reconciliation? That's a pretty big word. Reconciliation is to restore a relationship. All right? To restore a relationship. You can forgive people before you have reconciled the relationship. You can forgive, but you don't have to even reconcile the relationship. It is the decision of the offended party whether to rebuild that relationship after forgiveness has taken place, right? It could be a business partner. It could be a business, a boss or a coworker. It could be even a family member. We can forgive a family member, but we don't have to have a lovey-dovey relationship with that person, and it's a lot easier when they live all the way across the state. Or somewhere else in the country, or even better, somewhere else in the world. We can forgive them, but we don't have to reconcile that relationship. Or even just a friendship. You know, I've had many relationships, friendships in my life. As we did, this group of guys You know, I will keep them anonymous. But we did everything together. We partied together. We went to school together. They were my buds. They were my brothers. But I only have two of them still remaining out of the five. Because as you continue to grow, and as you continue to build that relationship, you realize there are still people that are unhealthy and unwilling to change. You know, and they may have hurt you in some way, like I've been hurt. But I can forgive them for what they have done. But I don't have to reconcile that relationship. Amen. Because they continue to do wrong, or they continue to live the lifestyle that I don't want to live anymore. So I choose to be in a healthy relationship with people that love me just as much as I love them, that will respect me and honor me for my decisions. So let's clarify two different types of forgiveness here real quick, all right? So next little fill in the blank as we're getting through all these little definitions, and it all makes sense here in just a moment. Unilateral forgiveness. Unilateral forgiveness. Unconditional, solely for one's own benefit, all right? It's the one-way street. Uni mean one. It's one way. Forgiving people who have not asked you to forgive them. A lot of people are held hostage waiting for someone to say, I'm sorry. But if they never say, I'm sorry, and you don't forgive them, you're the one being held hostage by what they do and what they do not do. So when you unilaterally forgive somebody, you relieve them of that obligation to make an apology. They may not know they owe you an apology. They may never know that they owe you an apology, but you can still forgive them for whatever it is that they've done to you. Or forgiving someone who is unable to ask you for it, like someone who abused you but is now dead, or a person who hurt you and you cannot find them. There is no way there can be that transaction. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. In Luke 23, 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen. Jesus Christ unilaterally forgave them for what they did to him. They didn't ask for it. He didn't expect anything in return. He unilaterally forgave them for what they were doing because they did not know any better. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. The next definition will be bilateral forgiveness. You can also use it as a transaction in some way, right? Forgiveness given in exchange for an apology or other demonstration of remorse. A transaction. I forgive you, you forgive me. It's great. We can rebuild our relationship through reconciliation. A person has confessed and repented for the wrong done against. They have come and requested forgiveness and demonstrated that they are indeed sorry, right? They have said the words followed by action, which opens the door for reconciliation. So if you want a healthy relationship, if you want reconciliation between husband and wife, family member and another family member, your coworkers, your boss, or whatever it is, if you desire a reconciliation, then a bilateral forgiveness must be exchanged. And that's part of what we make an amends, right? In our recovery program, in our eighth step, we write down that list of all the people that we owe an amends to. And then 9, we unilaterally forgive them, and we own our part in it. And sometimes we get an apology back because they realize that they made mistakes too. At that point in time, reconciliation can occur. A healthy bond can be reestablished, hopefully with boundaries. But if a bilateral forgiveness doesn't occur, the odds of reconciliation is nearly impossible. To restore a relationship, the Bible says that Jesus paid the sins of the world, the whole world, that was the unilateral forgiveness. But he is offering transactional forgiveness Because if you come to Christ in faith, you will be reconciled with the Father. The Father has already reconciled with you through the forgiveness of your sins, but when the transaction occurs because you come to Jesus Christ, then reconciliation with the Father can occur. All right? So he gives you the forgiveness. God, the Father, already reconciled his relationship with us, but when we come to Christ, we work both ways. It has to go both ways. There was a story of this. I've made a couple of mistakes in my life, and I've gotten just a couple, a handful. I mean, I could probably count them all in one hand, maybe two, but you know. Okay, my fingers and toes, and my wife's fingers and toes, and we will, and my children's fingers and toes. We can count all those mistakes, but I've gotten rear-ended before, and I can be really angry at the person who rear-ended me, especially when that person was uninsured. And how is my car gonna get fixed? Because now that's gonna have to come out of my pocket. Unfortunately, because he's uninsured, probably doesn't have much money to offer anything. And so the resentment becomes immediate, and the anger and the frustration. Unfortunately, a lot of people are running around with dents in their souls. Living life with a dent. You can become so angry, revengeful, and bitter that you get used to having that dent. You get used to having that dent in your soul. And sometimes you just learn to live with it. And now you don't know how to live without it. Because it is very easy to justify your anger when you see that dent as you walk by. Because I want to be angry. I want to be spiteful. I want to be bitter. So when we live life with a dent in our soul, we justify that dent because we want to be angry. We want to be revengeful and spiteful towards others. In Colossians 3:13, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." What makes it possible to forgive is recognizing that you have been forgiven. If you lose sight of the fact that you are forgiven, it will be much more difficult to forgive. There is no one here that has not needed to be forgiven. If you are here and you are saved, it is because God has forgiven you of your infraction against him. It's already done. It's already paid for. Your debt has been cleared. Now, what do you choose to do? Do you choose to go ahead and forgive others as Jesus Christ has forgiven you? Or are you going to live with that dent? Because you can't forgive yet. And it takes time, and it's a process. Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours." He basically clarified it right there. If you do this, I will forgive you. But if you don't do it, then how am I supposed to forgive you? You know, we can talk the talk, but if we don't walk the walk, how is anything going to happen? We're just in a vicious little cycle, living with our dents, and then we accumulate more dents, and then we become dry drunks or dry addicts, and we lose our sense of humility, and we lose our sense of purpose, and then we lose our sense of fellowship, and then we wonder why nobody wants to be around us, because nobody wants to be around that angry, bitter person who is spiteful and condescending to others. There's a parable later in Matthew 19. I want to go ahead and paraphrase a little bit. It's so amazing. If you want to go ahead and read it, write it down. I mean, it's in your notes. Go home, take a read if you need something to fall asleep to. The parable of the unmerciful servant. So there's this king, and he's building this kingdom, and he has this servant. And the king knows that this servant has money that he owes. So he gets the servant, and he calls him into his chambers, and the king's like, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. That's a lot of money. 10,000 bags of gold. I'm going to put you, your wife, and your children in jail until you pay it back. And the servant's just like, no, please, no, I'll pay it back. I swear I'll pay it back. Just give me time. I just don't have it. Just, I'll give you a little bit of all I got. I'll give you what I can. Just please, don't do this to me. And the king looks at him and he gives him mercy. Okay. All your debt is cleared. You owe me no money. And that servant is so thankful. He's so relieved. That pressure is just lifted off his shoulders. But then he leaves. Goes around the corner, and then he sees somebody that owes him only 100 pieces of silver. And he looks at him, and he comes up to him, and he just puts him and pins him up against the wall and says, You owe me money. Starts beginning to choke the man. He says, you owe me money. He says, I don't have it. I can't pay you. Just give me time. The servant ended up putting that man in jail because of his actions and his unwillingness and incapability of paying. Some people saw this happen, went to the king and said, your servant did this, and just threw a man in jail over 100 pieces of silver that he was unwilling and unable to pay. He would have been willing. He was willing, but he was unable to do it. So the king sought for the servant, got the servant, returned him back, and had a little word with him. He told him, because of what you did, every penny that you owe me is now reestablished. You owe me that 10,000 bags of gold. And he put him, his wife, and his children in jail until it was all paid. So how can you receive mercy and receive grace, but then not turn around and give it to somebody else? It's your flow. If I can flow, if God can use me and use me to provide mercy for others, that's what its intentions is for. But if I don't, if I can, the flow here is good, and he can forgive me for the things that I've done wrong, but then turn around and not give forgiveness to those who have done the exact same thing I did, does that make it right? No. No, it doesn't, not at all. Your next little fill in the blank. To refuse to forgive is to burn a bridge you must cross. To refuse to forgive is to burn a bridge you must cross. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 43, 44, it says, you have heard it. You have heard that it was, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy and forgive them. Even though they persecute you, we have to be ready to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. I ask each and every one of you, and those that are streaming here tonight, if there is something in your heart that you cannot let go, please do. The promises that are laid out in the big book of AA are placed with the decision and discussion in the ninth step for a purpose. We are to receive the promises when we start making amends. And it says, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. Halfway through what? Our amends. When we start forgiving others, then we start being forgiven for our own actions. And that's when we start receiving the promises. Amen. That's when we are happy, joyous, and free. I truly believe those were put there for a specific purpose, and in that order for a reason. When we start receiving those promises. Well, Matthew, this is a lot of what we should do and what we, you know, need to understand, but, you know, I need to make sure we clarify a little bit about what forgiveness is not. So your next fill in the blank. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. We do not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That past has built within us character. Character within us to help those who are going through what we went through for the first time. So we can build each other up, give each other encouragement, strength, and that wisdom of I know. Because I've been there. Rebuilding trust with those who want to reconcile with you. Your family members, your coworkers. When you start making those amends, we don't have to forget what happened. We don't just wipe it away from our memories. We don't have the technology like Men in Black and everything's gone. It would be nice sometimes, but, you know, the list of things my pastor, I know, but I don't really want to know those things anymore. So, you know, so. Forgiving is not forgetting, but it's to let go and not hold that hostage on yourself. You know, we have that saying, you know, when we have those resentments, it's like drinking poison, wishing the other person to die. You're holding yourself hostage. Number two, forgiveness is not fair. I'm sorry, but forgiveness is not fair. No, what is fair is the payback. Eye for an eye, it says in the Bible. Justice. No. Because if you want forgiveness to be fair, then what about every one of y'all's sins? You know, we all want to be forgiven, but if forgiveness was fair, then why would God not give you the punishment that you deserve? Well, that's what mercy's for, right? Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. We get the things we do not deserve. And we are given the things, or we are given the things we do deserve. Something along those lines. I forget. We don't get what we do deserve. There we go. We don't get what we do deserve. I'm a little tongue-tied right there. God is not always fair to us. Otherwise, you know, we would be in a much worse place. Grace. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 12, it says, He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He's done so much for us already, and we want it to be fair, but it's not going to be. When we expect it to be fair, well, that's just what? A premeditated expectation, a resentment, an expect as exit,
Yeah, I know, I'm getting tongue-tied again.
Anyways, moving on. God never said that forgiving someone would be fair.
Thank God.
So what is forgiveness? It is giving grace and mercy to others just as Christ gave grace and mercy to us. God is always faithful and just. Not always fair. Not always fair. 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Forgiving someone else may not set them free. Forgiving someone else will always set you free.
Amen.
Number 3, forgiveness is not easy. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. Forgiveness is not easy. You know, as we do our eighth step and we write that list, we have our, oh, this will be easy cakewalk. These are our maybes. And these are like, hell no, I'm not going to give that person, you know, apology. Well, they don't deserve that apology. Why would I want to even talk to that person ever again what they've done? Well, the forgiveness of that person and what they've done to you is not for them, it's for you. So those hail no's will eventually, over time, will become a maybe. With God's timing, will eventually become, okay, I'm ready. Because we have to become willing to make those amends. It doesn't say we have to do them and we have to do them right now. We can give it time. Let us heal. Let us wound those wounds that have been created. They need to heal. It would be really difficult to ask for or to forgive somebody for what they've done with a fresh wound. Because that is so hard. And it's so easy to remember and to justify anger and resentment of what they just done. So once again, don't expect to give an amends when you're on step one.
Amen.
Don't expect to give an amends when you're on step two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven. Working with your sponsor, you will become ready when you are ready in God's timing to make those amends.
Amen.
They're there in order for a reason. Forgiveness is not easy because it is so much easier to hold that grudge.
Yeah.
It is so much easier to remain bitter and spiteful and angry because I like that dent. I like that reminder of what that dent is because of what happened. It's not easy to let that dent go. Forgiveness takes faith. It takes faith to forgive. Faith enables me to see an opportunity for freedom where others see an opportunity for an offense. Increase your faith in the Heavenly Father. Because when faith empowers me, faith doesn't mean you will always feel gracious, doesn't mean you will always feel excited when you let it go for the first time. Faith often activates long before the feeling will go, will leave us. But I'm going to be choosing by faith. I don't want to feel the anger. I don't want to feel the resentment. I don't want to feel the bitterness anymore. I am choosing by faith to let it go to God. And when I let it go to God, I know he'll take care of it because he says he'll take care of it. Because whenever I let the sins of those who have accused me, who have hurt me go, I know God will forgive me my sins. I have to have faith that God will do for me what I'm trying to do for somebody else. In my flesh, I can still feel angry. I can still feel betrayed. But by faith, I am choosing to offer the same thing God has offered to me. It's that process. It's going to take some time. It takes faith to forgive. I want to leave here with a video. I know this is a very hard and deep message tonight. But I have a video I want to share with you as a dear friend from, I don't know him as much as John knows him or as Shay knows him, but I can already call him a dear friend, Mr. Tony from Christ Community Church. He shared a video with me, and when I watched it, it hurt, but it is so powerful and so meaningful. And I want you to read everything. There's no words, but I want you to watch this. It's going to take about 4 minutes, but it's so powerful. So, Jessica, would you please, as the band comes back up, would you play the video for us? Thank you, Jessica. I know that last little bit was very hard to read. And that last little bit says, when deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. From Mary Karen Reed, That was her final journal entry prior to being killed in the Virginia Tech shooting. So, Father, I ask anybody that has something deep in their heart that they are unwilling to let go, unwilling to forgive somebody or something for what they have done, what they have not done, I ask that you just relieve us of that guilt, that shame that we think to ourselves that we deserved it for some reason. Lord, I ask that you just continue to heal us and to lift us up and continue to show us how much you love us as we work so diligently trying to love each and every single neighbor of ours, those who are across the street, those who are in this room. Give us the capability to forgive as you've forgiven us. In your name we pray. Amen.